I first just want to say this. I said this to somebody else yesterday. I said, listen, no matter what you do, I don't care what workout plan, I don't care what diet, I don't care if you work out 24 hours, 7 days a week, it doesn't matter. We all age, and when you get older, your body completely changes. It's not just a saying. It's not just things you hear when you're younger in your 20s and 30s. It's the truth. The older you get, the more changes you see. And a lot of this has to do with things that are not going to be controlled by your diet, working out, where you're working out, how often you're working out, what you're eating, when you're consuming it. I don't care what fitness instructor, whoever you have, you know, fitness instructors or the stars or celebrities, I don't care who it is. Everybody's body goes through changes. And you lose a lot of muscle mass, you lose important chemicals and hormones change, and that's just part of life. It's part of growing older. You can either get upset about it, or you can accept it and embrace it. I know, as for myself, physically going through a lot of changes with my health, and I never had a break from it, and it's been since birth to where I'm at now, it's just been constant change. I never got a break. But I learned with Damn Good Therapy to accept that that was just my life. And I couldn't have changed anything. I couldn't have changed anything. When you're younger, you can't control how you're being, you know. I couldn't speak. I couldn't say, hey, listen, you know, maybe we still need to follow up. Maybe we need to keep that appointment with referral. Maybe we shouldn't have forgot about this. Maybe we need to do this. Maybe we need more attentive here. Maybe less arguing here. Maybe less stress here. It wasn't in my power, within my power to control. Okay. And I've accepted that with therapy. I'm in a different part of therapy. It's logical. It's accepting. And that's a gift, a peace for me, because peace for me is closure. There's a lot of parts of my health. They're out of my control. Okay. Would things have turned out different in my life? Hell yeah, they would have. But it's out of my control. And it was out of my control then. When I'm under the age of 18, under the age, I can't control that. But I'm proud that as an adult, I took the reins and I made sure that I controlled what I could. And as I had gotten older, the more intense I was to make sure that I was proactive as hell. And I took care of my health to the best of my ability. But let's face it, at the end of the day, where I'm at now, things have gotten out of the control to where I can't control it anymore. My health is going to progress and it's going to do what it's going to do. And I realize that that's just the way it is. You know, and now I just have learned to embrace change, constant change, and that I'm going to have to continue changing things up and redoing my life. Sometimes it's been gosh darn daily, you know, and it is what it is. And you can't cry about it. You can't get upset about it. Sure, you can. You can get emotional about it all day long. It's not going to change the way it is. But for people who are so worried about your physical appearance, and maybe it's just me and I don't get you, I don't understand you, and I never will, and I probably never did anyway. I have never been a point in my life where I did not like myself. I was never at a point in my life ever where I had low self-esteem. There's points in my life, I know, that I had a lot of anxiety because of a lot of not good atmospheres, very toxic, very combative, dysfunctional sometimes atmospheres, and that our anxiety gets the best of us and we comfort eat or, you know, or we crave. With me, it was craving sugar, and I realize now it wasn't about the sugar. It was just my comfort, you know. It was a way to calm, you know, the atmosphere and being part of that atmosphere. But in general, I never ever have been the kind of person to not be happy with myself. And now at the age that I'm at now, there's nothing that I could sit here, and this is the truth. There's nothing I can sit there and say that, is there anything that I'd want to change? I mean, when it comes to appearance, no. I'm content with who I am, and I've always been that way, and I don't plan on doing cosmetic surgeries. I don't plan on doing Botox. I don't plan on doing any of that stuff, filters, you know, injections, whatever the hell. I don't, because I'm content with me, you know? And I've always believed that there's a lot more to a person than just what you're seeing on the outside. Yes, I understand that we're attracted by the person, by the physical features first and all that. But, I mean, let's face it, when you get past that, that only lasts for so long. and we all, you know, age. We all age. We all get older. You got to have a lot more substance there, folks, than just what's on the outside. Sorry, guys, if you're just looking at a woman for what she has on the outside, well, you must be a very shallow person to start with. So I definitely would want to have nothing to do with you anyway. So that's the truth. You know, when you get older, you look for people and your relations and things like that with substance, you know, intellectual conversation, having things in common, hobbies. Some, you know, you want to fill your life with people that want personal growth and to be a better version of themselves today and tomorrow moving forward, because nobody's perfect and you're not perfect either. Nobody is, and I'm not either. I never claim to be. But that's where I'm really at in my life. I've taken a lot of stepping back from the podcast because I'm just working on me. And I'm on in this new phase of life where it's like opening up this new book. And I don't know if it's to do with medical journey or if it has to do with just big changes that are happening, but I just tend to think it's just everything rolled into one. And the way that I perceive and look at life now too, my life. So it's different. So I've taken a lot of time to step back from the podcast and just take time for me. And I've learned a tremendous amount and gained a tremendous amount of knowledge of just standing back and observing people and learning things, no matter what it is, and new things I'm learning along the way. And it's changed me, you know, but for the better. But I've learned a lot about myself. I'll continue doing so. I tend to think a lot has to do with this part of therapy, yes. It's definitely opened me up. I just see things differently, and I definitely see people differently, and life in general, that's for sure. But someone I made a comment about, you know, physical feature, and I'm so sick and tired of, you know, I'm just going to say this for people, you know, when you're older, you're not going to be able to do a share and turn back the hands of time. That's just, you know, turn back time. That's just a song. Okay. You're not going to be able to do that. Take the sand and flip it upside down. Cause it's not going to happen. No matter what kind of surgery you get, you're still not going to defy the number. Age, okay? And sometimes when you do a lot of stuff and you're older, you look like a cartoon character and you actually look older, more old, or I'm sorry, you look older and more ridiculous trying to tweak your body to bring it back to turning the hands of time than you would just embracing yourself of who you are now and where you're at in this point of life, especially when it comes to age, you know? It's not to say that you can't continue enjoying dressing a certain way. Maybe you just have to tweak it down a bit, or maybe trying something new with hair color or whatever, but maybe you just need to take it down a bit, you know? But you should never do anything because of what others feel or think. You should always do things and make changes in that for yourself, to make yourself happy and to feel good about yourself. You know, there's nothing wrong with makeup and things like that. And guys, you know, guys wear makeup too. I'm just saying, or changing up, you know, a normal attire men may have. You may like jeans and button downs, whatever, and you're switching it up. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying as far as physical features, I don't care what kind of, I don't care who you have as a trainer, okay? They're not going to turn that hands back of time. They're going to get you healthy, yes. They're going to get you maybe eating a little bit healthier, trying something new, incorporating exercise. But exercise in general, to be healthy, is just keeping active. Okay, just moving your body does your body good. Okay, you don't have to feel like you have to run a marathon daily to feel fit. Keeping the blood flow going in general when you get older, instead of laying around and sitting around a lot, and even if you don't suffer from something medical yet, you'll be blessed if you don't have to ever struggle with your medical or your health, even getting older. You're blessed if you die just by age and not by a complication with something pre-existing or new with your health. But, you know, just keeping active and keeping your blood flow going is a part of being healthy. That's good for life. Taking vitamins, you know, small things. You don't have to pay hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars for a personal trainer or whoever's out there or whatever. And I'm not saying anything negative about it. I'm just saying that they would probably respectfully agree that just getting up, you know, and starting your day and doing something good and positive, whether it's something you choose new to eat, you know, or taking a new vitamin, maybe drinking more water. But I'm telling you in general, you are not going to be Cindy Crawford, ladies, okay? Even if you look like Cindy Crawford in your 20s and 30s, okay, when you get older, you're not going to be her again. Guys, I'm sorry, you're not going to be Brad Pitt ever again. Even if you look like him and you're getting older, you're not going to be it, okay? And the more you do to your body, the more you tweak, the more ridiculous and stupid you look, and you look like a cartoon character. I'm sorry, a lot of people think it, you just don't want to say it. Well, it's a podcast, and I'm going to say it for you. You look a lot older, and sometimes, well, most of the time, you look ridiculous. You know, learning to love yourself as a whole is just embracing who you are, no matter what stage of life you're in, especially when you get older, okay? Learning that less makeup when you get older is more. The more you wear, the more ridiculous you look. You may look like Tammy Faye Baker if you put on way too much mascara, and then you throw on some false eyelashes, and it's just not flying because they're looking good. Tattooing eyebrows is great. Do it too thick, you're going to look like a cartoon character, or let it look like you got one of your kids' match markers out and just took it across your forehead. I mean, I know where I'm going with this. It's just be happy with who you are. You know, I think everybody has to get to that point of life where just embrace you and the changes that come with you and be okay with the person in the mirror. Yes, you've aged. You've earned your grays. You've earned your wrinkles. Okay? Ladies, you go through hormonal changes, menopause. You're going to go through it. You're going to go through it for a long time. And you're going to deal with all of the phases of your body changing because of hormone changes. Okay? And every woman that goes through menopause is going to go through it, okay? So don't think it's just you, and don't beat yourself about it and beat yourself down, because every woman goes through it. I mean, I'm going to say I'm never going to, because I'm not going to. With oncology and ovarian tumors and things like that, I don't want to say it to sound arrogant about never having to go through menopause, but hell, yes, I am. I'm going to sound arrogant, because I'm going to say it right now, I'm going to be arrogant about it as a son of a gun, is I don't have to go through that hell. Thank the good Lord, because I don't have to go through it. I'll never have to go through it. I'll never have to go through all that crazy change. I wouldn't want to go through that crazy change. So I feel for every woman that has to go through that gosh darn crazy change, because let's face it, flat out crazy. But you men, you ain't no daggone better, because you go through menopause, malopause, because your levels of testosterone are going to change too and start dwindling down. And you're going to go through the changes too, and the Pooh Bear stomach and all that. And you're going to go through the same changes and the thinning of the hair and gray hair and blah, 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 blah. And what I'm saying in a nutshell is don't judge yourself so critically. Now, I literally have stood back a lot and really just embrace life, and not so much say people watch like you would, you know, back in the day, people watch at the mall. Didn't even have malls anymore. I mean, hell, they're selling anything anymore, you know. Monopoly builders are coming and taking everything anymore. There's nothing anymore, anything, you know. And there's not a lot for anybody to do anyway, entertainment, let alone your kids, you know. This is probably like we never see, or we never talk to our neighbors, we never see anybody anymore, because everybody's doing things underneath their own roof, and that's just the way of life. You know, I'm glad that, you know, my fun heydays were when things were still going on and there was dance clubs and you got out and you mingled, and, you know, the internet was, you know, we didn't rely on the internet 24 hours, 7 days a week. You know, we socialized, and I lived it up past the point of living it up. I went way out living it up. I mean, I took it to the extreme, and I'm so glad I did. Because I don't have any regrets at all. I am so glad I lived life when I had the opportunity to do it. That's the truth. You know, even with medical stuff, I understand I still would have hit this part of life where that's it. You know, it's the way it is. As my life pretty much is revolves around, unfortunately, not getting out a lot. And now it's gotten a lot worse. You know, you have to weigh the pros and the cons. Talking to a couple in the area I've become friends with, and I was wanting to spend a little bit more time with them yesterday of seeing them and that, and I just couldn't, you know. I had changed things around because medicine, and I have to take a certain time, and it pretty much, you know, zombie mode, as I say, which is just to basically numb the pain, which is numbing the nerves, and I don't get out a lot, and that's the truth. I don't get to see the people I want to see a lot, But I explain, and they respect that, and it happens, you know. But as they said, you know, and came back on text message, which was such a truth, is it's worth, you know, not having the pain that I was having to be comfortable and to accept that that means, you know, not getting out a whole lot anymore. And that's the truth. But I look at it like, you know what, I've had most of my life in my heydays where I really lived it up. I still got the audio from when I met and was meeting Tommy Lee out. I still got that audio from November, my birthday, when I was still able to still get out, you know, more than once a week and still be able to have a little bit of fun. But this is how quick things changed and turned with my health. It's just from November. A couple of friends of mine had mentioned that things are changing. As they said, things aren't the same. And we can kind of tell by the way you look and stuff. And, you know, just say I look like hell. Yeah, okay. I don't look like myself. I've lost a lot of weight. I'm trying to keep my weight to stay above the 115 mark. And it's been really hard. I don't really eat a whole lot. And that's the truth. But I'm taking medication around the clock a lot now, just so I'm relaxed, I'm at peace, and I don't have to feel the pain, because the pain is really bad, and it's gotten really, really bad. And I'm gonna have to say I'm so blessed and fortunate to let oncology take things over and for us to switch out my whole level of care all the way down from getting rid of the family physicians, getting rid of, you know, changing over with palliative care, you know, with a lot of hospital care, just changing every aspect of my care team and removing three that they wanted to, you know, as they said, just, we're going to redo things and we're going to eliminate some people, you know. And it was a decision as a whole. They didn't have to force it on me, but I trust their judgment, which is they're the lead of my care now, oncology. So I'm going to trust their judgment. And I did. And I have no regrets. And I'm glad I listened to them, because I wouldn't be where I'm at with the pain now. I would not wish the pain that I have experienced from things progressing. I always compare it to after surgery pain. You know what I mean? When you get medicine after surgery, anesthesia starts wearing off and you start to really feel that pain where they cut you. Okay, that's minor compared to the pain that I deal with. When this medicine even gives a little window of opportunity to say, hi, I'm going to break through pain. We don't get to that point. We break through high, I break through pain, and high, I take something else. I don't want to feel what I feel, because it's downright, it's hell. That's all I gotta say. It's hell. It's not a joke. It's just not a joke. They said pain's gonna get really, really bad. It's gonna be really bad, Cam, really bad. And they weren't joking, really bad. And that's fine, you know? Then you have to learn to accept that majority of your life is going to be around out, being indoors. And I've had to step back from podcast and change my life, because my life is now more indoors and I have to embrace that. And I still try to get out when I can, but even realizing now that I have to, you know, embrace using delivery service for things, because I don't really get out much. And the mess makes you tired a lot too. And then the time that I get, which is a window of opportunity, which is really no lie, a couple hours of being really, like, you know, being able to really do things, has been plugging away at building a comedy channel. And I realize there's a lot of people that really like skits, like the old school things, like skits like they used to do with Hee Haw and Carol Burnett Show, and just things like this, skits like that. I love doing things like that and always have. And I love being creative and, you know, spending more time. Obviously, I'm spending a lot of time more on that channel than I am on the podcast, Free Yourself by Journey. Whether I bring over some of that content to Free Yourself, I don't know. Right now I say no, because I want to keep that like a little gem of mine and keep that separate. To turn it into profit, I am working on that. And I was hoping to probably get to turning that profitable by the end of this month. Even when you're on disability, folks, you work with your federal judiciary judge, and there are programs when there's not programs, and they will work with you, because your case is going to be unique. With every case is unique, when they deem you at the point of what you have going on right now and results death, in this part of disability is where I'm at. And to order to supplement my income, and, you know, Eric not keeping up on his responsibilities still, and You know, I'm going to protect myself and I'm going to do what I need to do. And I'm going to protect my fur babies. And I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to make sure that there's going to be emergency funds. And I'm going to make sure that I take care of me and my fur kids. You know, we come first and I'll do what I got to do. But I'm realizing that there is a way and means for me to be able to continue working and, you know, be profitable. And, you know, the Comedy Channel is definitely, it's going in that direction. And I don't see it going back. You know, something's going to work right away. You're going to have that slow following. Don't expect it to have like something like, you know, coming out of the, you know, gate, like, you know, Kentucky Derby, you know, don't expect it to anything, no matter what business you're building, to just fly off like that. It happens, don't get me wrong, but it's probably like less than 3% of new businesses, no matter what it is, whether it's something like what I'm doing or a restaurant business or whatever, you know, and then to keep it successful is a hell of a lot of work. Doing comedy by skits and that, and stand-up comedy part of it, and I'm doing like a game show kind of weekly thing on the weekends I'll be doing, and getting like my co-hosts together and getting contestants, and I'm working on that and meeting so many new people on the way. It's great because it's like I lost a lot of friends, and because life happened, some of it because you guys got involved, go contact everybody I knew because you were spiteful little shits. Okay. Face it. You were spiteful. You were vengeful. Instead of sitting down working on problems and issues, getting counseling on your end, you got spiteful and bitter. You ganged up together like a cult and you started doing crazy things. And I can say it now because now I see it for what it is. It was crazy, petty stuff you did. You still need to apologize to me. And you know that. But I'm telling you now, I respect myself to where I'm going to have an apology before we talk, before anything moves forward even begins, because trust is down to zero right now. Because I don't trust you. So it has to start from ground up, you know. The past of any relation or anything, I don't care who you were, is at zero. And we have to rebuild everything. But you have to also be adult enough to own up and ownership of what you did. Because it affected my life greatly. And I'm not going to move forward. It's not being spiteful or she can't move forward with things. No, I respect myself with good counseling that I deserve an apology. Okay. All right. That's how you move forward. You have to address your past, no matter if you were the one that did it or you were on the receiving end. OK, that's the only way any relationship, I don't care family, I don't care what it is, marriage, I don't care what it is ever going to mend itself and start healing is if you don't address and take ownership. That's the truth. You're never going to have anything. OK. Years and time is going to go by and eventually people are going to die. And people will pass away, and that's the truth. And it's never still not going to be worked out. Okay? And it happens a lot. Sorry. It's just sometimes got to swallow your ego and your pride and accept, not blow off what you did. It's hard sometimes when we do things out of spite and we do things that are really vicious and we know that it's hard to realize that I don't want to have to address it because I don't want to have to talk about what I did when you do hurtful things to people. But if you respect someone enough, and especially if it's a family member, I love that family member enough, that you'll take the means and ways to step up to the plate and mend and heal things. And I look at it this way. If a family member doesn't want to do that, then they really didn't care or love about you in the first place. So really, you were just born into DNA, really. You were born into a group of people because, I mean, your family should be first to work out problems and issues. That's the truth. I mean, your friends and, you know, coworkers and neighbors or whatever the heck. I mean, whatever, best friends, whatever. I mean, that should be second, you know, third, fourth, fifth. But dealing with dysfunction and issues and things with family, within family, from immediate on, you know, it's something that should be wanting to be worked on, you know. But if a family member or family doesn't want to work on issues and if they've done something that's been extremely hurtful and it's changed your life and flipped your life upside down and don't want to work out anything of whether it's one family member or many, well, you got to look at it the way it is, folks. And the way it is that these people never loved you and really don't care about you anyway. And sometimes life just drops you off. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes, and I talked about this with a couple people we've talked about in therapy, is I'm realizing where I'm at now at this point of life, I would expect me to feel this way maybe in my 80s or 90s, but I'm realizing for whatever reason I'm feeling like this now, at the age I'm at now, is I'm coming to terms and realizing, and really, really, really realizing, because it's the truth, that there's a lot of people that I never really knew. Like, I realize there's people I know, but I never really knew them. Because what they're giving me is who they are is not what I thought they were to begin with. It's almost like switcheroo. You think you know somebody, but you don't. Or here they are, but all of a sudden now they're bringing a whole other person. Usually people, as I was told through the therapist, is when people get older, age of 90s, they realize that, and they'll say things, and usually it's grandparents, and that'll say, you don't really know somebody, or whatever, blah, 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 and you only need one person, one good friend in life, which is true, you don't need a bunch of people. But you get to a point in age when you get older, and usually it happens when you get older, is you realize that people aren't really who they are, and you don't really know a lot of people. I'm coming to terms with that, of realizing I don't really know a lot of people. And that really makes you feel uncomfortable, especially if you realize you don't really know someone or individuals, and then you're put in a position to be around them, and you're uncomfortable because you realize you thought you knew them, but at the end of the day and end of life, you realize they're strangers, or they were a stranger. I could get more elaborate with it, but I'm just not going to. But I know a lot of people can relate with what I'm saying. I don't know how I ended up in that part of my life now. Way too early? I don't know. Maybe it's just meant to be. I don't know. That's the truth. I mean, as far as my pet that passed away, I'm still dumbfounded. I'm still absolutely just completely dumbfounded. I never, ever still have received any phone call from that veterinarian group in the county I live in. Not one phone call back. Not even a "I'm sorry" from the owner or anyone even works veterinarian for establishment. I've not heard nothing. I've heard nothing. I mean, they could contact myself or somebody else. They got numbers. It literally don't care. That has really, I mean, it's bad enough to lose a pet. And, you know, my pet slept with me every day. I mean, I was looking forward to, because just remember now, you know, my life has changed. So majority of my time spent indoors. You know, first thing I do is call his name. He'd come up, lay on my lap, and, you know, he was dedicated, you know, follow me around the house. And I mean, I'm dumbfounded. I'm dumbfounded from the negligence of not taking care of him when he was under their care. As a client, me, not respecting me, but most probably respecting my pet, I'm still playing with, is this a personal thing? Is this personal still? Is this personal? You know, do they not like Eric? Is this personal? You're judging me? You're judging me on something? I don't know. You know, I'm going to find out. I'm not going to let this go. I'm not. I really am not. I won't. The old me would have been like, well, okay, I have to let it go. No, new me is like, no, I don't think so. You know, I had a great loss of life, and it shouldn't have happened. It was just diarrhea. I needed the proper medication, and it was blown off and brushed off, and I was ignored. Most importantly, he was ignored, and I'm not okay with it. I'm just trying to figure out behind the scenes how to handle it, because I'm not going to feel good, and I won't feel good for the rest of my life until things happen that need to happen, and so this never happens again. Oh, it won't with me. I'll never go there again. I would never trust any of my beloved fur kids. And if it was a child I had, and it was a pediatric doctor, it'll be hell no. Hell no. Hell no. Mm-mm. No. More than one kid? No, never happened. And no. For me? No, never happened again. You know, I respectfully went back to where I have veterinarians that respect me as a client, but also have a passion and love for life and for animals, because they know that these are people's family members. They had no respect for mine, but I'm starting to think this personally. I have no respect for me. But I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to get to the bottom of it and figure it out. I don't care how long it takes, folks. I'm still not letting this go. I'm not going to. This is a new me. I'm not going to let it happen. I wouldn't want it to happen to anybody else either. You know? I'm not okay with it. But it really left a really just, I won't say bad taste in my mouth, but I really look at people and society and people in general, like my vision and how I feel about people has really changed even more so with what happened to me. Because we don't even have the decency or moral capacity to even show a little bit of heart to apologize, especially as a business owner or anyone who works for an establishment, when there's a loss of life of a pet and to not even say, I'm sorry, whether loan a card, a phone call. If it's personal, okay, that's great. Let me know. Tell me. I'm an adult, okay? Don't hide behind the scenes. Just tell me if it's personal. But even if it's personal, you don't take that out on somebody's pet the same as you wouldn't take it out on somebody's kid. If it's personal, it's personal between me and you. Okay, leave that outside of a place of employment when you're dealing with life, whether it's a human being or a pet. Is it personal? I don't know. I'm feeling 50-50. Are they judging me off of Eric, maybe? I don't know. I'm still 50-50. Folks, I'm not Eric, okay? So when we want to start judging me because of Eric, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not Eric. I'm not Eric. I'm Kim. So treat me as Kim, not Eric, okay? We need to stop doing that too. Yeah? When people do things and you don't understand why sometimes people have to be around people or have to cross people's paths, whatever, it's because you don't understand. So don't assume and make judgment because you make an ass of yourself. Don't gossip. You make a bigger ass of yourself, okay? All right? Because you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, okay? But don't, because of what one person does, you know, go judging somebody else or somebody else says, okay? I mean, there's situations where, you know, I dealt with things that was cult-like activity. Now, coming from me, therapist, cult activity, because more than one person gang up. It's happened. This stuff happened to you by more than one person. And it was the same people. Okay, that's different. When you have a paper trail, it's different. It's proof. It's fact, okay? But just because you feel ways towards someone, you shouldn't sit there and feel the same way about somebody else, no matter if they're standing next to them or have to take the same taxi to the airport. I don't care what it is. We shouldn't do that. You know, judging. It's a Sunday today? Okay, leave the judging to God. Okay, thank you. Going to church? Okay, pick up the Bible. Think about that. Pick up a verse. I mean, in a way, I feel that way. I don't understand why this veterinarian group has not contacted me back. I listen to podcasts. That's great. I hope they are. Because they know what happened. And it was not okay. And there's nobody on God's green earth in this county where I live in that would be okay if it happened to their pet. There's no way they would stand back and be okay. And if you brushed it off, you're not doing a service. You're doing a disservice to your pet because they can't speak. So you have to be a responsible pet owner and speak on their behalf. Let's face it, folks. Majority of my life rules. I have taken in what people have neglected, abused, and abandoned of animals. And I have given them all the love that I ever could give. That's half of my heart. That's the truth. And anybody who knows me, and even blood, can admit that's true. That's true. She treats her pets better than a lot of people treat their kids. And I'm very attentive and I'm very serious and always make sure that I keep up on their care. But when I'm at the mercy of a group and I'm getting run around and I'm waiting and I start getting really persistent and I start getting really like, listen, I need this. And you drop the ball and you wait a week later because this veterinarian is saying they need to get on it and call in something and compound something and don't tell me, they have them tell you there's only two drugs they carry in their whole establishment because that's wrong. That's wrong. You let them know. I said it. And I did. I told them. And all of a sudden I get a phone call. A week later, oh, by the way, calling this in. They didn't even call it in. They called it in, but I couldn't even pick it up that day. This is how late we dropped the ball. They could pick it up the next day to be compounded. You could have done that within 7 days. Passed away the day before. A day before, I already had an appointment out of state for veterinarian care that I should have stayed, that I trusted that establishment. And my grandmother did too, because she took her beloved pets there. Is this happening to other people in the county? I definitely believe so. Because Google reviews and people telling you things don't lie. People don't lie. You know, it's just in different areas and the way it is in the United States and different states and different cities and smaller areas or smaller areas. And people are afraid to say things. They don't want to step on any toes. They don't want to offend people, whatever. But wrong is wrong. Okay? Wrong's wrong. There's no getting away from that. There's no being careful stepping on toes. How do you step on toes? Okay? Because wrong is wrong. There's no fancying it up, dancing it up, or put makeup on it. Okay? Wrong is wrong. Okay? And you don't let somebody know wrong is wrong. You're getting an opportunity, green light, to keep doing it over and over and over again. You tell me if that's okay. Are you okay with yourself for allowing that? Or do you have a chance, opportunity to speak up? Okay, you should be speaking up first on behalf of respecting yourself and your pet, most importantly. Don't let it happen. I'm not going to let it happen again. You know, but I don't want it to happen to anybody else either. But, you know, I know where I'm at in my life, and I'm not going to let it happen again. But it really made me look at people differently. It really did. People that I should put trust in, I should be able to trust, and I just can't believe that things happened the way. I'm still in disbelief. I'm still in shock. That's the truth. Is it part of grieving? Yes, it's part of grieving. I'm allowing myself, finally, folks, to feel everything that I need to feel and I should feel. Instead of being brainwashed that I could never speak up about anything negative, and if I did, I was silenced, I was shut down, or, oh, God, that's the past. Oh, we can't talk about anything negative. And that's wrong. We should never do that to anybody. You know, if you live a life and you don't want to talk about negative or you don't want to talk about problems, okay, that's you. But allow people the due respect that allow them to talk about what you may be uncomfortable or you don't want to talk about. And if you're uncomfortable, maybe just sit there on the phone or stand there in person and just listen. You know, don't shut people down or try to brainwash them or make them think that they can't feel or go through grieving, heaven forbid, the steps of grieving. I'm not going to let anybody take away my right to process of grieving. Because this time I'm doing it right, and I'm grieving, and I'm feeling the way I want to feel. But I'm still in disbelief and shock because I'm waiting on that veterinary practice to say, hey, listen, we messed up, and I apologize. Can't even apologize to me? I can't put my brain or wrap my hands around this because that's not normal. And if anybody else was telling me this happened to them, I would say that ain't normal. You can't let that go. You know, wrong is wrong. Wrong is wrong. That makes me feel that people lack any type of feeling or heart and have zero compassion and are cruel and cold and unkind. That's what that makes me feel each day that goes by, that I'm not getting a phone call back. You know? And it's two pets under their care. That's the kicker part. One is under care for something serious. And the one that passed away was something so minor that it should never happened. And it's sickening. It's absolutely sickening. And it should never happen. And I'm not okay with it. I'm sorry. Every time I talk about it, it just brings me right back again. And I'm back to square one of healing. You know? And is this my therapist? Told my therapist, I don't know why I'm not getting over this, because what happened, well, it should have been prevented. It was preventable, and it wasn't okay. But they're not even respecting you as a human being to even apologize or even acknowledging you. They're treating you like you don't exist, and your pet doesn't either. But your pet died, and they don't seem to care because they're not even saying, I'm sorry. None of the veterinarians. Is that personal? I don't know. Is it people in the area? Well, you're not going to talk anyway because you're afraid to talk. So what good would it do? You know, you're just probably like, well, I felt that way for many times, whether you're born and raised and where I live, or you just knew you're from out of state like I am. You know, maybe you felt that way your whole life. I don't know. And you just don't know how to say it, or you're just not going to say it because you figure, what good is it going to do anyway? Because ain't nobody going to listen. You know, and that's safe to feel that way too, because everybody's entitled to feel and have an opinion too. You know, whether a positive opinion or negative. I mean, that's life. That's being a human being. I just don't get it. I don't get it. I'm never going to get it. And so it just makes, it just is, you know, I'm just going to cut the conversation, because all it does is it just, it makes me feel a certain way towards people. Like, are we that cold? Are we? Because that's how I feel. I used to say there's 5% of good souls still out in this world. I used to always say that. You know, what I went through now, this is God's honest truth. I have 1% faith in human beings and mankind. Of 1%, I believe, is left of good souls in this world, is 1%. I don't know if COVID did it, and then throwing in the economy and the craziness, I don't know if establishments and businesses and people are overwhelmed. You know, if you're overwhelmed, take a vacation, take a break. That's all I got to say. You know, and some lines of work, that's going to be involved. And if you can't handle that, then don't get in that line of work. And I'm not trying to be a smartass by any means, but I'm just saying, because things like this will happen if you proceed ahead anyway. I don't want anybody to have to go through this. You know, it's just not okay. You know, it's not okay. No, that's just, you know, it's one thing with Baby Blue having epilepsy and knowing when we took in the pup that this was a pup that we were getting surrendered by state, and it was a backyard breeder in the state and dog warden and all that in Ohio, and it just went down a blaze of glory, and there was only five pups, and she was one that survived. But we knew going in that there could be really serious problems going on because she was vicious. She was a mean husky pup. She was only, what, 6.5 weeks old? I mean, she had to be crate trained to just be domesticated. Okay, that was a feat within itself, having to call the dog warden, like, what do I do? Because she's, like, getting – she was really mean in the beginning. Yeah, this was Baby Blue. And she started having full-blown grandma seizures at 6 months old because she suffered head trauma from being kicked by a backyard breeder over and over again. And I could finally feel comfortable in saying it, okay? But one of the cats that I took in where someone was so cold and cruel where I live, I found this cat, and this is the truth. And this veterinarian even knew, I took in a cat and even knew and said, you're doing something that most people wouldn't. I mean, most people would have not given the love that this cat needs, but I'm that person. If I had kids, I would have fostered a million kids if I could. I'd taken a million kids if I could. I feel like I would have enough heart and love for all of them. That's the truth. And I feel that way with animals, maybe because I couldn't have kids, but I'd still be the same way. I was always passionate, and animals always had half of my heart. But, you know, taking in a cat and domesticating a cat that was found with a rope tied around its tail and missing a lot of teeth from being kicked, I took that cat in and domesticated that cat, and that took forever because they didn't have any fosters available because this is special care. And a lot of people who foster understand that when you get animals that are severely abused, that it's a one-on-one. And at that time, I wasn't working, so I took in one-on-one case. It was able to, in time, slowly gain the trust and for him to trust me back and give him all the love that he didn't have. All he knew was a life of being tied up by the tail and being kicked. And Baby Blue came from a situation where the state got enough ammo and investigation to where they shut him down and arrested him, and it all went down. You know, all hell broke loose, but the end result is we took in a pet, a puppy, not knowing what abuse meant, that lifelong term with the health, and it was seizures, epilepsy. Knew it was going to be a short life. They gave her 3 years to live, and she made it to 5. The end result, she had cluster seizures. They weren't expecting it. It was probably less than 3% chance that she would die of cluster seizures, meaning that it was a seizure back to back to back to back, and it didn't stop until her heart gave out 44 minutes and 30 seconds. Truth. Yeah. And she lived 5 years of as much love that I could possibly, I mean, more love than, I mean, I gave her everything, and I made sure she had everything, and she had her medicine, and kept her up on her appointments and things like that. You know, people who know me understand that's how I'm passionate about animals, about helping animals. If I had kids, I'd be the same with foster care and things. And so just for any veterinarian establishment to sit there and treat me as they have is not okay. It'll never be okay, and I'll never be okay with it. I'm not going to let it go. I'm not, no, no. I'm just not. No. I was getting to the beginning of this podcast. I'm going to cut this short, and, you know, this is when I go to sleep. 11 o'clock, I take the rest of my meds, and I go to sleep. And I sleep majority of the day, and my life is crazy. This is a new life, and I have to accept it. It's just the way it is, you know? And, you know, I could get upset about it, because it's out of my control. And the best way to deal with that is just accept it and embrace that this is the way it is, okay? And I've had all the fun. I went and traveled. I went to places. I took plane, you know, a plane here. I went to dance class. I had fun with the girls. I did a lot of things, you know? I lived life to its fullest, and this is my life now, and it's completely different. But that's the way it is. You see what I mean? It's kind of the beginning when I said of this podcast is, when you get older, just accept that when you get older, you're going to go through change too. It's nothing to do with, a lot of times, it has nothing to do with health. It's just life. You know, you're never going to be Brad Pitt again, man. Sorry, you're not going to. You're never going to be, Cindy Crawford, ladies, okay? Another great model, okay? When you get older, you're not. And sometimes less is more. Don't worry about, do I have to keep up with the 20-year-olds and whatever because my husband or better half wants me. Well, if your husband or better half is making you feel like you need to get breast implants or Brazilian butt lift and that, then you need to butt lift his butt right out of your life. Whether you're married, a boyfriend, whatever, I don't care what the situation is, fiance. Okay, it's because someone who loves you should love you unconditionally, no matter what. Okay? Mad, sad, happy, glad, fat, skinny, I don't care. Good health, poor health, love is love. You know? Your surface is surface, okay? The true beauty of a person is within inside their soul. It's just some people don't get it until they're a lot older, and some people get it when they're younger. You know, I've always got it that what's inside is really what counts, you know, but you're not going to get that body back. But you can be kind to your body. You see what I mean? Just accept who you are. Don't worry about what other people think, you know, be kind to yourself. It doesn't mean you have to run a marathon this morning or afternoon or evening. It could be as simple as just doing a little extra around the house or doing some extra steps while you're working or making a change. Instead of a soda you pick up, you're picking up a tea or you pick up a flavored bottle of water. Okay? Just embrace life. Embrace where you're at now in life. Embrace change and embrace all the wisdom and the experience that life has given to you. To this point we're at now, you know? Because we all have two things in common. We all are born and we all die, okay? And by the end of life, really, it's truly about being happy and doing what it takes to make number one, you, the happiest. Amen.